Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A traitor is one who is guilty of betrayal, a deceiver, one who breaks and violates a trust and confidence. The very word traitor carries a connotation of something evil and sinister and despicable, that which should be shunned because a traitor is shameful, but often shameless. From whom do we learn the lessons we need to learn in order to follow the Lord as He would have us to do? Of course, we look to the Christ. We look to the inspired apostles, the other godly characters of both the Old and the New Testaments. From these we learn what we ought to be. But we can also learn from others what we ought to avoid and never be. We can indeed profit from their mistakes, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Let us sit at the feet of a traitor. Let's learn something that will enlighten us. May we attentively listen and observe. Judas was a famous traitor, maybe more properly called an infamous traitor, but we can learn from the source of Judas many lessons. He betrayed Christ, the Son of God, and we now read the account of his evil deed from Matthew 26. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Further in that same 26th chapter, And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, a saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, when the morning came and all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, and when they had bound him, they led him away and led him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. First we learn that sin is worse than what people think it is. Too many people take sin lightly. Sin can and does condemn the soul to torment. Sin is what separates a person from God. It's called spiritual death. It is a terrible thing for one to be stamped condemned, and every sin is hideous and destructive. When David sinned, the magnitude of it was far greater than he realized. And the same is true of the sin of Adam and Cain and Moses and the prodigal son and our own sin as well. We may not experience immediate and eternal consequences of sin and therefore be inclined to consider it lightly. Because God does not punish sin as rapidly toward us as he did with Ananias and Sapphira, we ought not to think that sin is a minor matter. Sin is not just against our fellow man, or just against ourselves. Sin is always against God. Probably Judas did not realize how far-reaching his betrayal of Jesus would be. He may have surmised that Jesus might be persecuted and even beaten, and eventually released. Here was a way, as far as Judas saw it, to get some easy money, so he followed through with his plot against the Lord. Now, we do not know that that was his thinking, however, but it could have been. But he seems to have been shocked that Jesus was treated so cruelly and condemned to death. His dreadful deed was worse than he thought it would be, or he would not have taken such actions possibly as he did. From Judas we learn that the results of sin cannot be escaped. In the Old Testament, when some of the tribes of Israel promised to help in the deliverance of the land of Canaan until all was taken, if Moses would allow them to settle on the eastern side of Jordan, Moses warned them that they had to be sure to keep their word and not forsake their brethren, and he added, if they did go back on their word, be sure your sins will find you out. Numbers 32, verse 23. Well, Judas learned this lesson, and he learned it the hard way. It is evident that after a while, Judas was smitten with remorse because of his evil deed against Christ. But why? Nobody pointed an accusing finger at him. Those who had conspired with him did not rebuke him. He did not hear Jesus or the other apostles raise charges against him. What caused him such deep sorrow for his deed? Friend, he was driven to despair and finally to suicide over it. We can discover the reason. There are four courts, so to speak, before which each one must stand regarding his action in life. They are the civil courts, before which the person who violates the law of the land must stand. And there is the court of public opinion that places great pressure on a person from the society around him to conform. And there is the court of one's own conscience that reminds him of his evil deeds even when nobody else condemns him. And, of course, there is the court of God, before whom we all shall stand and be judged according to divine law. It was the knowledge of Judas, of his own evil, in comparison with his knowledge of God's divine law, that would not let him go free. When nothing else condemned him, he was still condemned to himself. He could not live with the knowledge of his own guilt. It plagued him. He simply could not escape. There's a story of a man who graduated from law school, opened his office, began his practice. But after a few years, he closed his office and tore up his diploma because he could not live with the knowledge that he had received it under false pretenses because he had cheated to pass the examination. Even though nobody else knew what he had done, he knew it and could not escape the results of his sin. Judas also made the mistake of attempting to cover his sins the wrong way. He brought back the money. He admitted his error. But that did not make matters right. Deeds once done are done forever. Words once spoken cannot be retrieved. How many times we all might wish we could have lived moments and situations over again so that we could do better than we did the first time. But one cannot cover his sins by trying to make up for them. Now, to be sure, one should try to correct his misdeeds. But there's only one way to cover sins, friend, and that is to receive forgiveness of them, and that can only come from God. One must seek God, God's way for forgiveness. Judas returned the money. He even hanged himself, but this could not pay for what he had done. Doing good or even imposing self-punishment is not a spot remover. Doing good is something we all should be doing, but we can never do enough good to cover even one sin. Only by forgiveness from our Heavenly Father can we ever really be free from the guilt of sin. And once He has forgiven, then we are free indeed. Let us learn something about hope and relief. There are earthly and immediate consequences that sin sometimes brings. But there are eternal consequences also if sin is not forgiven. There may be sins we commit, and we cannot and shall not escape the physical and the temporal and the earthly consequences of our wrongdoing. But we can still escape the eternal consequences of them. Now let me illustrate. Suppose a man gets drunk, which is sin. He drives his car, he has a wreck, he injures himself or some other. He can be forgiven his drunkenness if he comes to God, God's way. But he will still suffer the physical results of his sin, possibly the remainder of his life. The blood of Christ can wash away his guilt, but his battered and bruised body may never heal as a result of his transgression. Sometimes people go their own way to their own detriment and bring upon themselves all manner of hardship then turn to God for forgiveness, as they should, but they expect all the havoc and the misery that they have created to suddenly vanish away, regardless of the nature of their sins. This is unrealistic. This is not what the Lord promised. Judas could have been forgiven of his betrayal of Christ if he had returned to the Lord in penitence, but he did not. He suffered not only his guilt to his death, he shall stand before God as the betrayer of the Son of God. But consider the mental agony and torment he suffered as well because of his sins. We may never be able to fully overcome the results of our sins even here on this earth. But there is hope for us if we truly repent and obey God's commands by which we can be forgiven of our guilt. As we sit at the feet of Judas, as we learn about sin from him as one who committed such gross travesty against deity, we see that sin is worse than we might at first consider it to be. We see that unless it is forgiven, it will bring eternal doom. Friend, you really will not escape all the results of sin. We have no power to cover sins by ourselves. No amount of good that we do thereafter provides for the forgiveness that we need. And while we may live the rest of our days in regret and suffering because of our sins, we do not have to remain covered with that guilt, because the Lord has provided us deliverance from the spiritual death that sin imposes. And how can the guilt of sin be removed? Well, we do not look to Judas to teach us anything here, because he did not seek the removal of his sins the right way. We must look to Christ, because he came to forgive sins and save them from sin. We must realize our guilt, and we must say, as did David, "I have sinned." And we must put our faith and our trust and our confidence in the one that God sent into the world, Jesus Christ, John 8:32. We must repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. We must confess our faith in Christ, Luke 12:8 and 9, Romans 10:9 and 10. Then we must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:27. And then the Lord will add us to the church, Acts 2:47, which is composed of the saved, Ephesians 5, verse 23. The result will be that our soul will be washed clean by the blood of Christ, Romans 5 and verse 9. That's when we have reached that blood in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4, and our sins are removed. In the knowledge that sin is removed, even with the earthly consequences that may well remain, we can take heart, we can take courage, we can live righteous lives to the glory of God. Let us not make similar blunders as did Judas. Let us learn from him. Let us avoid his mistakes. There is a better path to follow than the one he tragically decided to trod. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.